Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the podcast about everything podcasting, from equipment to interview skills and everything in between. And as usual, I'm Colin Gray, bringing you more for season 7, really. This is, as you know, this is a little bit of a departure from our usual season-based approach. What we're doing on this season is really covering case studies of successful podcasters, anyone who is making a success from their show and making a return on the effort they're putting into it. Now, that might be profit, it might be connections, it might be simple happiness and well-being. It could be anything at all. So we're talking to lots of different people who are making a success of their show and however they define that. And this time around, I'm talking to another podcast host called Tom Evans, and he does a show called The Zone Show. So I'm going to get into what Tom does on The Zone Show, how he makes a success of that, how he gets a little bit of a return on the effort he puts into that show. So I'd like to welcome Tom to the show. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great and always honoured to be interviewed by another podcaster. You can always tell because the microphone's always good.
There's got to be a little bit of equipment envy when you're talking to another podcaster, doesn't there? Well, for that matter, what are you using just now, just out of interest?
Oh, I've got, what have I got? A Blue Yeti.
Okay, a classic in the podcasting world.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining me on the show. Really interested to hear. I mean, we've obviously talked a little bit beforehand, but I'm really looking forward to getting some insights into how you're going about the show, how you're getting a return on it, all the successes you've had through it. So do you want to just start off, tell us a little bit about what's your kind of 1 minute pitch on The Zone Show? How do you get people to listen?
Well, I wrote a book about 5 years ago called The Zone, and it's how to get in the zone and stay in the zone, and what happens if you fall outside the zone, how do you get back in it again? That's what the book's about. So the podcast is all about that. And in the book, I've got 18 chapters. So I've got doing zones, danger zones, being zones. I've got like zones like the addiction zone and the entrepreneurial zone and the creative zone and the loving zone and the kind zone. So everyone fits into one of these zones, you know. So and I basically interview people. Like you're interviewing podcasters, I interview people that have gone on a bit of a journey, got some learning, you know, been to the edge, come back again with some enlightenment, and they've learned how to get in and stay in the zone. So it's quite a broad brush thing. It covers spirituality, metaphysics, entrepreneurship, performance, writing, music, all sorts of things, you know.
Excellent. Well, how many episodes are you up to now?
232, I think.
Excellent.
Not that I'm counting.
No, not at all. But that's a big achievement by anyone's standards. So good work on that. Over those years, I mean, that must be how many years now?
That's about 3 years. I started just at the tail end of 2013. So 2014. Yes, 3.5 years.
Yeah. So you're doing more than weekly then by my maths, are you?
I had a period last year where it went absolutely bonkers.
Okay.
And I was doing like two a week for about 6 months. And I didn't burn myself out because I could manage my energy and all that kind of stuff. But I just thought this is a bit silly. And so I've now restricted it to about 3 a month or something like that. And so there was just I tend to do one a week, but I've just had to cut back at the moment to 2 or 3 a month just to keep some balance there.
Well, so what spurred that just out of interest? What made you go more frequent?
Demand. I got a couple of literary agents got hold of me in the States, and they just kept sending me really fantastic guests. Okay. And there were people that I had a personal interest in. I loved their writing and their books. I went, I want to speak to that person. So it was, you know, pure indulgence on my part, really. And actually you go past this little tipping point, don't you, where finding guests isn't that hard anymore because they kind of find you. And I went through that tipping point probably 18 months in. Mm-hmm. And then I just got overwhelmed. Don't like saying no because I'm a kind of nice guy as well. So I just started interviewing loads and loads of people. But in general, people I really enjoyed chatting to. A lot have become friends, a lot have become clients. You know, it's been a lovely journey.
Excellent. Yeah, that's amazing. Why, out of interest, did you decide to put them out more frequently then, as opposed to what a lot of podcasters do, which is you get a bunch of interviews in the bag and it just means that you can, you know, you've got a bit of a buffer? What made you just put them out more frequently?
Oh, because I like things to be fresh, you know, and if I record a podcast, I often put it out within 24, 48 hours.
Okay.
Because I can remember the podcast and I remember sometimes where you got an edit to be done and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, there's some people had a message that was very topical and for now, and I thought it needs to go out like now.
Great. I like that. It's very fresh. Yeah, just it's the power we have as podcasters, isn't it? That we don't have to stick to our weekly schedule or our fortnightly or whatever it is. We can just put stuff out as and when.
When we want, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have, and all of those episodes that you've done, you're talking about people going to the edge and back and the various zones. Do you have a favourite story that you liked, that you got from somebody? What was one of the most interesting revelations that came out in the show?
Well, there's a lovely lady who has been on my show 3 times and is about to come back for her 4th visit. She's 78 years young. She is the world's expert in near-death experience. So she's been to the edge of death 3 times and come back with all sorts of revelations and wondrous things. She's called PMH Atwater. She decided to rename herself after a 3rd near-death experience as a person that might sound like a bloke as opposed to a woman, because she might not have been taken seriously in a subject. And she's researched this whole phenomenon about transpersonal psychology, you know, whereas our consciousness is the insiders, outsiders. But apart from anything, she is just a bundle of fun.
Yeah, it's always good when you get somebody that's actually quite funny at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to the sort of the mechanics of the show then. We talked about a few different ways that you get a return on what you put into it. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned networking as one of the first ones. That's one of the it's one of the side benefits that I always tell people about, because it's always the bit that people don't expect, how many great people they get to know, get to meet. That's certainly one of your main ones, is it?
It's been the main one in the past, yeah. So the idea is that you interview somebody, they put it out through their social network, or even put it on, I don't mind if people rehost the show on their sites as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And then their tribe gets to find you. Mm-hmm. And likewise, my tribe gets to find them. So it's that whole thing about how do people find you. And as a result of that, my business over the last 2 years, which used to be primarily UK based, mm-hmm. is now 50% worldwide, 50% UK.
Yeah.
And so it's actually got people to find me that wouldn't have otherwise found me.
Yeah. Do you have an example of a time when somebody came directly through that type of networking, a decent client?
Yeah, I've got loads of electronic products, mm-hmm. all ranging from about 10 quid up to about £1,000. I always say, where did you find me from? And a number of times someone's bought something when I've been asleep, which is always a lovely thing. And it's found me through this obscure Zone Show podcast. Almost too numerous to mention, to be honest with you.
You mentioned their reposting on their site. That's something I always find an interesting approach. Have you had much success through that? Have many people taken you up on that?
I interview a lot of people that are podcast hosts themselves. Mm-hmm. And one of the other benefits you get, if I look for, is that if I put the effort in to record somebody, the time, effort, you know, it takes, then I get a reciprocal interview out of it. Mm-hmm. So when they're a podcaster as well, then I encourage them to re-syndicate the show. And I think I had one very successful one where another amazing person who was one of my almost like boyhood heroes heard a show on someone else's show and then came on my show, which is just great.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. So you said you'd been trying different ways to monetize recently, one of which you called bookcasts. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, well, actually that came again from a publisher. So I got these literary agents that feed me clients from the States that have been kind of useful. And as the show kind of grew in popularity, I got discovered by a local English publisher who said, I'd like my interviewees, my authors, to come on your website. Can you do it? And I said, well, actually, I'll be honest with you, they're not. Some of them aren't totally my normal guests. And they said, well, how about if we cross your palm with money, because you're such a good interviewer, and even if you don't put it on the Zone Show, can we have the interview and put it on our website? So I've now just put this package together, which is a 30 to 45 minute interview. I always read the book. If I think it relates to the Zone show, I'll re-syndicate it through the Zone show. If it really isn't that thing, because they've got people on there that have done sort of historical biographies and things like that that don't have the resonance, then I'm just a paid interviewer, if you know what I mean. And apart from anything, even though I'm not interested in that genre, you always meet a very nice person and you get to know somebody you wouldn't otherwise know. So it's been kind of good. So yes, I've just been renting my questioning ability out by the hour, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the original sponsored content type approach, isn't it? A provider comes to you and asks, quite often it happens in blog posts, where they'll come along and ask you to write a blog post about their product and it'll be a sponsored post. But I hadn't seen it that much on podcasting so far, where a whole episode. But I mean, you're still offering quite good value content there, aren't you? As in you're creating interesting stuff, you're asking for insights, you're teaching in a sense.
You are, and also, you know what it's like if you produce your own stuff and you want to do it, you want to advertise it. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to stand in front of a camera and just say, "Hey, read my book; it's great." But if someone asks you some pertinent and salient questions, then and also, I'm always looking for the backstory. You know, how did the person come to write that book in the first place? Yeah. And then people get to know the author as a person, and then they buy the book as a result of it. Yeah. Or when I say book, it could be book, course, workshop, you name it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, this applies to just about any industry, doesn't it? You can just interview product creators, service providers, I suppose, in any industry at all.
You got it. Yeah.
Do you mind me asking your kind of your structure for that then? What what type do you offer? Different types of interviews at different costs? What's your sort of what's your shopping list there?
Yeah, it's sort of, I say it's a basic 45-minute interview, and then if you need any extra time over that, then it's per 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But also, I've got a very good tame TV studio, multi-camera TV studio with green screen, and I can rent that whole studio for a day. And I talked to the publisher the other day about this, saying that if you want to get four authors lined up, then I'll do a TV show version of it. Again, then you take the audio and re-syndicate that through the podcast, but also shove it out on YouTube and all the other channels as well. My background is broadcasting, so I'm an ex-BBC TV engineer, but I've always been behind the camera, so it's kind of interesting to come on this side of this side of the microphone. As they say, you know, good face for radio and that sort of stuff.
But so you've got some credentials there, really, to justify charging for this, haven't you?
Yeah, and actually, and I've learned the craft of asking good questions, and I get a lot of people listening to the podcast saying, "Oh, I was just hoping you'd ask just that question of them, and you dared to ask that question."
Yeah,
and in fact, one of the things I send out a sort of guest briefing document, and I do say in that let me know the best thing that could ever happen as a result of listening to the podcast. But also, if you've got three questions you've always wanted to answer but no one's ever dared or thought to ask, then let me know what they are and I'll sneak them in there somewhere or other.
That's interesting, yeah. Because there must be a lot out there that people wish they were asked about, this little secret part of their skills or their personality.
Yeah, but I always read the book, I always look at their website, I always do it. You know, I might spend an hour doing the actual recording by the time you've spoken to the guest. You've got at least an hour to edit in, and I've spent about 2 or 3 hours beforehand or more reading the book. So, you know, you won't die rich as a result of it, but it's a lot of fun, and it helps keep the coffers topped up.
Yes, indeed. Do you mind sharing how much you charge for that?
Yeah, they're running at the moment at £450.
Okay. Yeah. And I see on your sales page, so every extra 10 minutes is 45, isn't it? And
then something of that nature,
And then the video is another 300. So yeah, that gives it's just great. It's great to get the numbers because it gives people an idea of where they could sort of fit into these. But yeah, I really like that approach. And like I say, the only sponsored content that I've really seen recently was, I mean, really big providers like Gimlet Media charging five figures for this type of stuff. So it's great to see some people making a success of this approach in a smaller way. Right. What about other ways then? What you talked about the fact that you've looked into or you experimented with sponsorship, sort of more traditional sponsorship as well. What was your experience of that?
Well, a year ago, I host with Audioboom, who've now partnered with iHeart, and they've got a sponsored content thing going on, mm-hmm. where you allow ads to come on the show. So I allowed ads to come on the show, and I've had a trickle of cash, so it hasn't really been a great success.
Okay.
So as a result of that, what I do is I host an ad-free version on my own website, mm-hmm. And then let that all syndicate out. But I'm thinking of pulling the plug on that.
Right,
mainly okay. not because it hasn't worked, you know, because if you don't try things you never find out, but some of the ads I don't really like quite very much, thank you very much.
So are these automatically inserted ones by Audioboom?
Yeah, and you can choose what sort of anything you don't want on there. You don't want gambling and that sort of stuff, you can choose it not to be on there, but you know, you know what it's like when you got your lovely tone of interviewing and then there's some big flashy ad before it, it just jars a little bit. So aesthetically, I want to go to an ad-free environment again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And are they dynamic ads, as in they change over time, or are they put into your shows and they stay there forever?
Oh, no, they're completely dynamically generated. Okay. Yeah.
Perfect. How do Audioboom structure that then? Are they taking the sort of standard industry CPMs, like you're talking about $25 per mid-roll, $20 for a pre-roll type of thing?
All of that stuff, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then taking a percentage of that, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of providers out there. So it's a good thing for people to know about, but I like the fact that you're talking about the fact that it's not necessarily in your style, because there's a lot of people jumping on this because it seems like an easy way to do it, getting dynamic ads in. And I've a couple of the shows that I listen to quite religiously actually have recently started putting ads in, and they're actually cutting off the middle of sentences and stuff like that. So they're not even choosing really where to put in dynamic ads, and it's just, it can ruin a good show, I think.
Yeah, it's not as bad as that. It just runs for 20 or 30 seconds, then I start, and then they run one at the end, and they don't run all the time.
They don't
run on every single play, you know what I mean?
So
I let it go for a year. I like to try these things out. If you never try it, you never find out.
Absolutely, yeah. It's worth experimenting with, isn't it?
For sure, yeah.
Great. So I couldn't let you go without asking a few of your more subject domain questions. So you talked earlier on about energy. That's something that I think that a lot of the podcasters that we talk to, you know, it's talked about as an approach to, say, record 3 or 4 shows at once. And it's what we do, actually. I tend to record maybe 2 or 3 shows on the bounce to queue up the content and make sure we're doing it efficiently. And the problem you can have with that is, you know, your energy starts to fail and you're feeling a bit groggy by the last one. How do you coach people around how to sort of maintain energy when you're creating content over, say, even half a day or a day long endeavor?
Well, there's 2 tricks. One is water. Mm-hmm. And the other's the breath.
Okay.
I've become by accident a meditation and mindfulness teacher, and the breath powers loads of things. It doesn't just keep us alive; it actually energizes our brain. It generates inspiration. There's a specific breathing technique that I teach, and in quite a lot of the podcasts, if I'm interviewing another meditation teacher, I get them to do a guided meditation. Sometimes I throw some of mine in as well. And this meditation technique is great. Who was the guy? Mike, who does the 24-hour podcast. Did you hear about this guy? I can't remember his second name now.
Oh, Mike Russell.
That's it. He did a 24-hour project, and I was something like his 20th hour, and he was really flagging.
Yes.
And I said to him, look, just do this technique, right? So I got him to put his left finger on his left nostril and breathe in and out of his right nostril 5 times, and then flip over again.
Okay.
And then every time he flagged, he just did that, and he said that kept him going till the very end of it. So this breathing technique is a great way of just getting you going. But breathing in general, making sure you've got enough water, having a gap obviously between guests is the thing, and actually I suppose the biggest thing is being prepared, because if you've got your questions all prepared, you know where you're going to go, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really useful. I think that's because it's something that definitely comes up quite a lot with our audience, is how to keep going when you're trying to do a batch recording. So that's really good.
Mm.
I believe you say you dropped accidentally into meditation as well, but I think you're quite prolific with it now as well, aren't you? You appear on an app that I've started using, which is Insight Timer, is that right?
Yeah, they were the ones that I was, until they found me, I thought I was an author who did meditations as accessories for his books.
Uh-huh.
But since then, I've become a meditation teacher who has books as accessories.
Yeah.
And they found me about 18 months ago, and I put a meditation up that was already free on my website. And they said, have you looked at your stats? About a month later, I said, no. And in 1 month, there had been 6,000 listens. And everyone's saying they love this British accent, the fact that I say, don't meditate if you're driving, operating machinery or flying a jumbo jet. And there's a bit of humour in this normally worthy subject.
Yeah.
And just as of now, about 400,000 listens about 18 months later.
Excellent.
And it's actually, it's allowed me to step into a different phase of my life and career now, which is great. And actually, I've just literally just written a book, which was Meditations First, Book Second. And I've literally just produced my first set of meditation only product for a weight loss company in America who approached me through the app. They found me through the app. They listened to all the people on there, about 40, 50 people, guides on there, and said, we like the sound of this guy's voice. And they commissioned me to create 7 weight loss meditations.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Which is great. And it's all using this voice, you know, it's all this tool that we have. You know?
Yeah, indeed. Aye. If you have it, you might as well use it.
Exactly.
It's funny, actually, because it happens with us as well, like, because obviously podcasting kind of took off in the US and it still is prolific over there, much more so than here. It's a way to stand out, isn't it? You've got to use every tool at your disposal. And something as simple as an accent can be a useful tool for you.
For sure. And I love the lovely Scottish lilt that's coming through your microphone at the moment.
Well, it's funny how often it's commented on. So yeah, it's good. Do you think that meditation is something that podcasters should be thinking about? Does it apply to podcasting, to content creation in particular, in any particular way?
That's a great question. I think meditation is, for me, meditation is something which has got to have a practical output. So you can use it for reducing stress and anxiety, which is a classic reason people meditate. I'm, as an ex-engineer, when I discovered it, I found out that you could be more creative and productive when you meditate. I discovered loads of other things you could do within the meditative state to get more things done in less time and to let magic come into your world. And, you know, like just when, let's say you need another podcast guest, the most perfect one just shows up, all of that wonderful stuff. So for me, so long as there's a crossover into the podcast, so there's a reason for it to be there, absolutely, you know. But I'll give you some examples. If you've got a dating podcast, I've got some meditations to help people find their soulmate. If you've got a travel podcast, I've got a meditation that reduces jet lag, you know. So I could always find loads of reasons to put a meditation alongside a podcast. And I work with a load of ambient musicians as well, who produce the ambient music for the back of the podcast. So again, music podcasts, could there be another resonance there? And I like doing one thing which is great and very rare in podcasting circles, of going silent for a minute or two in a podcast. So shutting up as part of it, which is just wonderful.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining me in the show, Tom. That's been really useful. Really great to hear how you're making your podcast work for you and a wee bit about the meditation well-being side of things as well. So if you're out there listening, you've enjoyed this and you want to learn a bit more about Tom, you can find his website at tomevans.co. And if you want to do any of the meditations, you can find them at insighttimer.com/Tom Evans. What's your social media of choice, Tom, if anybody wants to follow up with you?
Well, I'm called The Book Right. I started out, I was a board IT consultant in my mid-40s. Then I started meditating. Then I became an author's mentor. So all over social media, I became this character called The Book Right, which is like playwright, but with a book in it. Mm-hmm. And I still help a lot of authors write their books. But I haven't been able to get around to changing my social media moniker. Now I'm this other kind of person, you know what I mean? And I'm known for that in lots of places. So, The Book Right on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, all of those places.
Excellent. And when will your meditation product be coming out? Will it be available anytime soon?
Yeah, the weight loss meditations is out right now. Mm-hmm. You can get those from our website, along with all the other ones on jet lag and that kind of thing. And I've got a new mindfulness course on time management coming out in a month's time, which is how to change your time by changing your mind and getting lots of things done in less time.
Oh, I might have to check that out myself then. Was that all on tomevans.co?
Yeah, go through tomevans.co and it all sort of spans out from there.
Perfect. Okay, well, thanks again for your time, Tom.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.